540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Millions across New England are under flash flood alerts tonight, with more heavy rain expected through tomorrow.
Look at the people's doors!
Waters were knee-deep in New York last night, where at least one person died. And Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro says they got up to 8 inches in some parts of Berks County, about an hour from Philly, where high waters destroyed homes.
We're going to stay together and united, and we're going to rebuild, and we're going to make sure our kids have a great school to go to this fall. We're going to make sure our homeowners get taken care of, and we're going to make sure that this community gets back up on its feet.
In Florida, disgraced sports doctor Larry Nassar is reportedly in stable condition after getting stabbed in a federal prison. Here's CBS's Manuel Bajorquez.
The Bureau of Prisons has put out a statement where they don't name him necessarily, but they do reference this attack. They say that it happened at 2:35 p.m. Sunday, that he then received life-saving care from the staff, that no other staff or inmates were injured.
Embattled Congressman George Santos just compared himself to a civil rights icon.
I mean, Mitt Romney, the man goes to the State of the Union of the United States wearing a Ukraine lapel pin, tells me, a Latino gay man, that I shouldn't sit in the front, that I should be in the back. Well, guess what? Rosa Parks didn't sit in the back, and neither am I going to sit in the back.
Santos was slamming Senator Mitt Romney on right-wing podcast Mike Crispy's Unafraid for telling Santos that he didn't belong in Congress. Santos is facing more than a dozen federal charges for fraud. Ahead of NATO's summit in Lithuania, Turkey's president has now brokered a deal to allow Sweden to join the alliance. Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg.
President Erdogan has agreed to forward the accession protocol for Sweden to the Grand National Assembly as soon as possible.
He agreed for a bid into the European Union. UPS workers are closer to striking later this month, with contract talks now in limbo. Sean O'Brien heads the Teamsters Union.
If there's a work stoppage, again, UPS will cause that. They'll self-inflict that wound. And we know there's going to be short-term pain, but we're looking at long-term gain for our members and their families.
Amazon's Prime Day kicks off tomorrow, but this year it's invite only for some of its hottest products. CNET's Bridget Carey.
Do your homework ahead of time to not get overwhelmed, I would say, because it feels like everything has a sale. And think about back to school. Think about things you need anyways, things like toys and clothing.
Kitchen gadgets and electronics are big sellers, too. And here's a pro tip. If you win the Powerball tonight, you can spend more on Prime Day. Tonight's jackpot is up to $675 million. It is the ninth largest prize in Powerball history. No one's won it since April. This is CBS News.
Find great hires fast with Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring solution makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For WAUK The Shaw, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Improvements are finally done to downtown Waukesha. After 9 years of work, the streets are repaved and the sidewalks are replaced. Streetlights are improved and so are the sewer and water lines. Upgrades to the West Broadway area were the final piece of the puzzle. The project started in 2014 and cost $18.5 million. The 55th year of Summerfest is in the books. This was the third year of Summerfest's three-weekend format. Jimmy Buffett and AJR canceled their performances. Summerfest attendance is coming back up since the pandemic, but crowds are still smaller than they were before COVID. The official attendance for this year's Summerfest should be announced sometime this week. I'm Terry Bell, and this is WAUK News.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 540 AM WAUK. UK.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Good evening, folks. Welcome to your Paul Revere Show. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. We are here every Monday night at 7, WAUK 540 AM 101 FM. This is, you know, one of the civic media stations. And before I jump into my guest, I want to make sure all of you listeners are fully aware of what is happening with civic media and our out there encouraging people to donate blood. Please go to https civicmedia.us/giveblood/ folks. Jump on and you can find out all you can do to give blood. Folks really need it. This is for the hashtag Civic Pints, and we need blood in Wisconsin, folks. Please, please, please. Here's a trick. If you submit your selfie at the webpage address, you can be entered to win prizes. Like, they got a pair of tickets to the Brewers. 50 pairs are being given away. And there's a pair of tickets that's headed to State Fair coming up, another 50. And then Civic Media even has a swag pack, 100 swag packs. So jump on early and go for those Brewers tickets or State Fair, you know, Civic Media swag, you know, that's great stuff. But hey, folks, please jump on. Let's get blood to folks that really need it in the great state of Wisconsin. Let's keep us moving forward. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And now, folks, I'm very, very proud to introduce the guest for tonight, Jonathan Brostoff. Jonathan Brostoff is a former state assembly rep. He currently is with the Common Council in the city of Milwaukee. I haven't had a chance to talk to him or introduce him to you before, but he has a lot to share with us about this whole budget process and his perception on how the, you know, certain right-wing Republicans have really tried to play a divide and conquer tactic with Wisconsin. So I'll let Jonathan tell you more. Welcome, Jonathan.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And thanks for having me on. It's a good night to discuss politics. That's for sure. We got a lot going on.
It's sunny out there. It's a classic summer day. So before we get into some of the specifics, how about sharing some of your background with listeners so they have an idea who you are and how you ended up sitting in the seat that you are?
Sure. Yeah, I'm Jonathan Brostoff, and I'm currently the alderperson for the 3rd District here in Milwaukee, but Before that, I served for 8 years in the state legislature in the 19th Assembly District, in large part because of Mark's help to get there. It was a very tough race in the beginning. And then before that, I spent about just under two decades working and volunteering in various homeless shelters, mostly 11 to 17-year-old shelter pathfinders, and also at some other ones, including the SGC Family Support Center. Basically my path to politics started very early at 14, working in a myriad of direct service agencies, and I kept kind of going along that path. And then after my AmeriCorps service, after I graduated high school, I really decided I needed to learn more about the systems at place that created a society that, you know, produced such such a dichotomy and disparate wealth outcomes. So that's how I started volunteering on campaigns of people I believed in, and eventually started working in the offices of various elected officials at multiple levels, and then I decided to run myself. So that's where I'm at. I have not yet lost an election, so it's been a good run so far, and I've got to accomplish some good stuff, but very, very happy to be at the city now. It's a very unique opportunity and wildly different than it was at the state.
So let's, before we jump into sort of the current lay of the land, you were initially elected as assembly rep for the 19th district in 2014. And so you served 8 years, right? So almost a decade. So you have a lot of experience looking at the world from Madison and the chairs of Madison, and as also as a minority party player in that whole thing.
Yes.
I know, though, before we get into the perspectives, you were successful in moving some legislation, right? Especially with hearing impaired, right?
Yeah, I was able to get a few pretty substantive pieces through. The biggest one was my deaf bill to help the deaf community here in Wisconsin, which I'm very proud of. I was also able to stop some pretty bad legislation. There was a move to get rid of professional licensure in Wisconsin. It's part of a larger national movement, but Wisconsin's kind of ground zero because of the incredible amount of infrastructure the Koch brothers had invested in here, and they're on the ground, they're kind of boots on the ground capacity. But we're able to defeat that and able to get my legislation through in that context, which was very difficult, but it was a good lesson in how to navigate incredibly suspect waters. And there were a couple other small things. There's some Alzheimer's legislation, some regulations around unarmed combat sports, and a few other things. But the deaf bill is really kind of my shining achievement, and feel very proud of that one.
Yeah, it's just, what is that? Many people don't probably even know what that means or what actually it accomplished for human beings in the state. Like, what are the key highlights of that bill?
Basically, it makes it much better for people in deaf community who often rely on interpreting services for their ability to communicate with the rest of the world. And we're able to overcome a pretty much disaster for the community, and that would have blown up their opportunity for access, and come forward with a better regulatory structure, as well as a basically like kind of a self-correcting mechanism moving forward that didn't exist. So basically it just made lives much better for the deaf community in Wisconsin. I would say arguably for generations to come. And it was tough because the deaf community doesn't really have a lot of political power at the time, or really a lot of money or stuff like that. In fact, compared to their hearing counterparts, they're much worse off socioeconomically. So it was a big lift, but we're able to do it and get it through unanimously in both houses eventually.
That's awesome. So your time there, you actually participated in a few, at least a couple of budgets, right? The whole process?
Yeah, both under Walker and Evers. So very different. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's take that, you know, that bring that statewide perspective for all of us here.
Sure.
And I just want to revisit some of this because we have a budget deal that has been passed now, but I think it's important to always remember sort of the where we started and where we're at and how we got there and where we're the road forward. So take us back. You are now facing this budget as a city alderman, and you see Tony Evers' budget proposal. What do you see good for the people in creating a better Wisconsin with that initial budget? And then frame it in the idea, right? I want to see like how that was taken apart and how they did it. And let's just have a conversation.
Sure. Well, the initial budget had a lot of incredible, very progressive, very wonderful pieces of it that unfortunately under the Republicans got ripped to shreds. I'll go over a couple highlights that I thought were very important. One is, especially in Milwaukee, a pretty big deal, which is the amount of the huge investment he put into removing lead service lines and basically preventing lead poisoning, which disproportionately would have helped Milwaukee, but would have helped a lot of parts of the state. There were hundreds of millions put into that. Another one is, he put a lot of money in for the continuum of care for people with various needs, including behavioral health issues, and actually declared it the year of mental health. So there was just he put a ton of money into care facilities, psychiatric treatment, etc., which is severely needed and also can be very helpful preventing issues down the road. And the last piece of it I'll just highlight was kind of the long-standing fight there's been since Walker, which is expanding Medicaid and bringing Badger Care up to the level of many other states, including other Midwestern states that were governed by Republicans like Indiana at the time. And this is hard to, hundreds of millions of dollars just from a fiscal standpoint that we're losing out on every year. We don't expand Medicaid, but on top of that, it's also most importantly, people not getting access to the service that they need for healthcare, and especially for preventative healthcare, which can prevent someone from having to get their healthcare through emergency rooms down the road. When Walker first decided to run for president years ago, he made this a huge, line in the sand, and the Republicans have maintained it, but it's hurting us every single year. And that was another provision that was very hopeful to be in there, but unfortunately that the Republicans ripped to shreds.
I think that there was a significant cost, right, of loss of federal dollars too with the
failure. Oh, yeah.
With the Medicaid.
Hundreds of millions of dollars every single year. So by now, I mean, it's astronomical, the amount. Yeah.
So one other briefly here before we go to the break, and then we'll come back. His tax cut was aimed at the middle class and not the wealthy, right?
Correct.
Okay, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. I am here with Jonathan Brostoff, former state assembly, now currently on the Common Council in Milwaukee. We are talking about the budget process and the Republicans' divide and conquer strategy and how we're going to overcome that to keep us moving forward. Come on right back. This is your Paul Revere Show.
Summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Don McCrute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tonight, otherwise mainly cloudy. Lows dip down to about 65. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, chance for scattered thunderstorms. Highs level off around 80. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow night. Lows level off around 60. Cloudy. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 81 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. Mondays 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram on 540 AM WAUK.
Welcome back, folks. This is your Paul Revere Show. This is attorney Mark Thompson. We are here every Monday night at 7 at WAUK, 540 AM, 101 FM. Civic Media's voice to the state. And here we are out of Waukesha. And we are honored to have with me tonight Jonathan Brostoff, former assembly person from the 19th District, currently a member of the Common Council representing District 3 in the city of Milwaukee. And we're talking about the budget and shared revenue and how that all played out. And we were just before the break talking about the initial proposal by the governor and his tax breaks focused on the middle class with some real, real focus on some super benefits to folks. So, Jonathan, in response, what did I call him King Voss? What did King Voss and company do?
Well, they decided to basically blow a bunch of the extra money the state had on targeting the extremely, or the, I'd say the very wealthy to the extremely wealthy, and just funneling a ton of money into a relatively few amount of hands, where the average Wisconsinite would have seen basically no difference. But if you were making, you know, half a million, you know, you see a little bit more, but if you're making millions, you'd see a huge difference. And that was their kind of take on it. And sorry, I've got my little ones that are somehow must have escaped their room. They're supposed to be getting ready for bedtime right now, but I'm sorry if you can hear that.
We can't hear anything and we can't see anything. So just
okay.
Let's just
I got my screen up.
So that's all right. We can hear some happy children chatter in the
back. Yeah.
That's all right. But let's talk about sort of this attack by the far right Republicans and how they really tried to go after the concept of local control and divide and conquer the city from the greater state. How did you see that playing out?
Well, unfortunately, it's been going on for a while, and they've really perfected it at this point, because they have nearly a two-thirds majority in both chambers. So they have basically, you know, they used to be the Republicans in Wisconsin historically have been known at least as the party of local control. And nationally, that's a big thing is, you know, they just want federal government out of the way. They want the locals to decide. They want state government out of the way. They want the municipal and local government to decide. But it couldn't be further from the truth as far as, you know, these last 10 years or so. Most recently, one of the big things they've been doing is, again, pushing this, you know, whatever the flavor of the week for their national outrage machine is, whether it's, you know, critical race theory or DEI or any of that stuff. So this last iteration is they basically said Milwaukee can get access to the life-saving critical money that it needs, which partially we need because the state has been starving us out and stepping on our throat for so many years. But nonetheless, the money that we need, but they're going to attach a bunch of poison pills to the package that our policy, no matter what we do with the money. So if we get the money, it's policy. If we don't, it's policy. And an example of that is hiring a bunch of new police and fire, or specifically police, you know, removing the ability to use tax dollars for to use those dollars generated that way for things like the HOP, you know, trying to take away our ability to have DEI and Office of Equity policies. The one of the most powerful civilian oversight bodies for police and fire in the country is housed in Wisconsin through the FPC, the Fire and Police Commission here in Milwaukee, and removing basically a lot of the policy making from that body, as well as authority over the chief, over the decisions of hiring. So those were examples. But again, basically, they have wanted all these kind of wish lists of things. And so they jammed it in this year because they knew that they had some leverage over the governor, whereas normally he would just veto it.
So, you know, you touched on a bunch of different issues, poison pills. I don't know if a lot of people, especially if you're not living in the city, really understand the full import of some of that.
Sure. But
you had mentioned, you know, mandating hiring police, but it was also specifically a putting police officers in schools,
right?
After the school board had said that we don't really need it, right?
Right. Yep. Yeah, 25 what's known as SROs or school resource officers, which are putting 25 cops in schools, which is in direct response to the local government making a decision about this and saying they don't want this anymore. And in direct conflict with that, the state came in, intervened, and took over and removed that opportunity for local decision making from elected officials.
You know, in your capacity, what did you see from other municipalities around the state when this piece of legislation really attacks Milwaukee in particular? Did you hear anything from other folks that you may have known?
There was some solidarity in certain regards with the League of Municipalities. There was some, there was a little bit, but overall, everyone, I think, felt that they were so over a barrel because they were getting a 20%, at least 20% increase in shared revenue that they basically didn't raise a big fuss over it. And they kind of had to publicly, felt that they had to publicly support it. So I think there was that sentiment, but they just have been starved of resources for so long that they felt they needed the shared revenue above all else.
Folks, this is your Paul Revere Show. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. I am here with Jonathan Brostoff, giving us the inside scoop on how this budget process is playing out. Come on back and hear more details. Again, this is your Paul Revere Show.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup starting at 6 AM. Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Parts of the Northeast are under flood warnings a day after storms and flash floods washed out highways and killed one person in New York State. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro toured hard-hit Berks County.
Bottom line here is I want this community to know that the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania is with them. You are not alone.
Sweden is closer to becoming a NATO member after talks with Turkey's president and Sweden's prime minister. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg announces
President Erdogan has agreed to forward the accession protocol for Sweden to the Grand National Assembly as soon as possible and work closely with the Assembly to ensure ratification.
Texas is dealing with a heat dome, with El Paso breaking the record for most consecutive days of 100-degree weather. Sally Morales escaped the heat in a bus terminal.
It makes a difference. It'd be good if they had more terminals like this one with air conditioner working, because this helps everybody when it's very hot outside.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Local radio for your community. Civic Media, broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin.
For WAUK, The Shaw, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. The 55th year of Summerfest is in the books. This was the third year of Summerfest 3 weekend format. Jimmy Buffett and AJR canceled their performances. Summerfest attendance is coming back after the pandemic, but crowds are still lower than they were before COVID. The official attendance for this year's Summerfest should be announced sometime this week. A federal judge says the Mukwonago School District has to let transgender students use restrooms and locker rooms aligned with their gender identities. Judge Lynn Adelman's order is part of a lawsuit against the school district. An 11-year-old transgender student and her mother sued after the school board passed a policy requiring kids to use facility based on their birth sex last month. I'm Terry Bell, and this is WAUK News.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What is the grand prize? Is it a fabulous cash prize?
You definitely get to take home the cheese. I know
that. I hope so. Humans aren't necessarily logical creatures. Maybe it is.
Thrill-seeking.
It's the thrill of the cheese and the bragging rights.
The first person across the line wins and gets to keep the cheese.
And that's it.
And I think that's it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here every Monday night from 7 to 8 WAUK 540 AM 101 FM. I am privileged and honored to have Jonathan Brostoff as our guest tonight, former state assembly person who brings that Madison expertise to the discussion. Currently, he is an alderman with the 3rd District in Milwaukee, sits on the Common Council. And we've been talking about the deal on the budget that was cut. So, Jonathan, What is the deal that finally got signed in place coming out of the governor's proposal and a middle class tax break and then the right wing king boss bill on giving the money to the rich? What actually ended up getting signed and where are we at?
Well, they did move forward with a bill. There was a lot of the tax cuts. That was the kind of the, there was a couple aspects of the veto pen that were pretty prominent in this one. But the major one, I would say, was removing the, you know, basically, you know, just giveaways to the wealthiest, you know, around us. And they also, you know, were able to, he was able to use his veto pen. Wisconsin has this kind of like, it's known as the Vanna White or Frankenstein veto. So he was able to change some numbers around. And instead of having a, he was able to, instead of having just a couple year, you know, short increase for the revenue for public school children of about $323 or so, he basically made it indefinite with a 400 year increase. So he was able to manipulate the, he was able to Vanna White the numbers and put, you know, the extra zero in that was a, that was probably the most reported aspect of it because it was so novel, which, and it was, and it's completely legal. That's just how the Wisconsin budget works. But I would say the biggest part was probably the veto of the giveaways to the millionaires and billionaires that he did. And there was, you know, a lot of compromises. And at any time you have shared government, there's going to be a lot of compromise. You know, there was some money for PFAS cleanup and, you know, there was some money for local governments and, you know, all the kind of normal stuff that's historically been kind of like good governance in Wisconsin. But I would say the biggest fight was over the tax breaks and the budget. And then right before that was the other aspect to it, which was the shared revenue deal that Milwaukee was a huge part of and was uniquely treated, but was actually, you know, for the whole state. That's another topic we can touch on, but might be one of a lot of interest given that we're voting on it tomorrow here in Milwaukee.
Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about the whole shared revenue concept, because you, sure, you talked about a little earlier that it was part of this divide and conquer. Mm-hmm. Right. So, I mean, we had Governor Walker and then the Republicans for years and years and years. The shared revenue proposal was bad for all municipalities all over the state.
Yeah.
Right.
For the most part, there were a couple, there were a handful that benefited significantly, but almost exclusively, yes, it was a bad deal, including for some of the rural areas as well.
Right. And so, I mean, that, and then this time around, all of a sudden they said, we're going to have some money in the future go towards shared revenue. And so there's municipalities that were starved for money and they wanted it. Right. And so,
yep.
Setting aside from Milwaukee, the municipalities, what, some got up, what, 15%?
It started at 15%, and then there was kind of a late minute change in the negotiations where it got up to 20%, which did a couple things because it puts more pressure on Evers to sign it because you have all these municipalities around the state, including areas like Appleton, Green Bay, Oconto, Eau Claire, Ashwaubenon, Richland Center, etc., that were in dire need of more shared revenue. And, you know, we've seen this play out in all sorts of referendum across the state, trying to do simple things like even, you know, for the schools funding basic school services or, you know, capital improvements, but also for a lot of their important municipal functions. So you had a lot of areas that really needed that money. When they sweetened the pot to 20%, I mean, that was for some of these areas, or at least 20%, for some of these areas, that was just an unthinkable lifeline. So it means if you're Evers, you're even.
They offered Milwaukee 20% too, right?
That would have been great. Milwaukee, unfortunately, only got a 10%. So they, right, again, pitted us against the rest of the state by carving out an exception where the 10% is not, it's a significant deal for Milwaukee. Partially also because it has a mechanism where it can grow as long as we grow, which did not exist before. And obviously with inflation and every, you know, price of stuff going on as it does naturally, and even more so in the last year or so, that really has hit us hard. So we got a better deal as well, but in comparison to everywhere else, statistically, it was nowhere near what they got. Yeah.
I throw that out because I'm on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Mm. And when we've dispersed money, for example, federal grant money, we've put that out as in terms of grants pro rata. Mm. So it's per person, not per city. Right? Yeah. So everybody, we've tried to share those funds equally.
Which is how it should be. It makes a ton of sense.
Right. It sort of sounds that way, right?
Yes.
So they didn't do it. And so they created this divide and conquer kind of thing. So they put all this pressure on the municipalities outside of Milwaukee to lean on Tony Evers to sign it. And in place, so they set up Milwaukee.
Yep.
And so Milwaukee had to live with these bad policy decisions, right?
Yeah, exactly. They kind of stacked the deck where normally Evers would veto the hell out of, you know, all of these. But they, again, the concept of the poison pill, which the Republicans have become so expert, they know that there are people in Wisconsin who still want to govern, who believe in people getting their needs met and services being fulfilled and, you know, water being treated in municipalities or having your roads paved or whatever. And they leverage that and they use that against those who want to govern by, you know, basically being willing to threaten that unless you take all these extra, you know, crap that they want to enact. And it was even more so because, again, this wasn't just a Milwaukee deal, although Milwaukee was kind of the center of it, as it often is. This had to deal with everyone getting theirs. And if the governor did veto it, which I'm not, you know, might have been the right call, might not have been the right call, but it means that all these other localities and municipalities would have not necessarily been able to get their 20% increase, which again, especially in some of these areas that we're still starved out, really do need it. I kind of come at it with a Milwaukee view because I'm an older person here, but during my time at the state, I served on plenty of committees where we heard from areas where the local volunteer fire department couldn't even get enough vehicles or couldn't even get, you know, these are like volunteer firefighters from the community and they couldn't even get the most basic stuff because they're just getting so choked out. And these are actually heavily Republican areas, like for example in Travis Trandall's district in southwestern Wisconsin. So anyway, it was a leverage, it was a negotiating tactic to pit Milwaukee against the rest of the state and to basically kind of play chicken with Evers along the way. That being said, we are now coming up on tonight is the eve of the vote of the final piece of that, which is the sales tax. In other words, we've got all the negative policy that I mentioned earlier and that we discussed, but we don't have any of the money yet. And it's possible we could get all the money, or excuse me, all the policy, none of the money, which would be the worst case scenario. But at this point, it's up. They gave it up to the Common Council by 2/3 vote to decide if we're going to take home that about $200 million in revenue or not, which, you know, would be huge. And I'll just mention that, you know, you, as we were talking offline a little bit, you said that there was a portion of it that had to go to hiring new police, which is true. That, you know, we have to get up to 1725. I believe in the current numbers, 1630. So the difference. So
that's 1,725 up from 1,600 and what?
30. Yep. So the difference basically breaks down to about $12 million of additional cost to the city and staff, which is huge. That's a lot. You know, $12 million is huge. That's half our library's budget, for example. But out of the about, I say 200 because it's a round number, but around 193, 194 million. So that takes us down to about 182 million, which is pretty much, you know, where we, that's pretty much the budget shortfall this year. So it's a huge lifeline, but tomorrow's the vote. Tuesday, the 11th, and I am, you know, can't make a prediction right now as to where we're at, but I'm hopeful we'll get it done.
So let's just talk a little bit about what's the debate now on the Common Council, and how is that playing out, and how are you and other older persons talking about addressing these issues in the light of, you know, King Boss's divide and conquer strategy? I mean, how do we not fall prey or victim to that again?
Well, as far as the policies that were enacted, we are and have been working nonstop to come together and come up with some creative workarounds and solutions. And in some cases, there might even be litigation, especially, you know, regarding some of the potential home rule violations. And this is all, of course, in the context of August 1st, when we'll have a new Supreme Court justice here in Wisconsin, Janet Protasiewicz, which might flip, you know, which will flip kind of the balance to one that might respect home rule a little bit more and be more cognizant of the law. So we, I think, are pretty much in total agreement that we need to fight like hell against every single one of those, or come up with ways to work around some of those provisions as best we can. But we want to leave all the tools on the table. We want to work with every single strategy and tactic that we can to overcome, because it's just not acceptable. And obviously, things like the DEI restrictions are so damaging and harmful to a city like Milwaukee that's historically used its government to disenfranchise certain, you know, members of the community based on their skin color. And we need to correct that and make up the disparities and keep fighting. So we will.
So the we're coming up on a break, and then we'll come back on more on the road ahead. But here in the last 30 seconds, what do you see are the key issues that are going to be debated tomorrow on the floor?
I'm not sure. I got to think about that one. That is a tough question to answer, and it's been racking my brain all night. Let me think on that and come back at the break.
We are going to come back with that question after the break, folks. You heard it here. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. You are hearing live on the play out of what this budget cut is doing to the city.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. The IRS just rolled out a new program to help struggling taxpayers more easily resolve their tax problems. It's called the Taxpayer Relief Initiative, and it opens up powerful new options for people looking to get back on the right track with the IRS. And no one knows this program like the professionals at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution company. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients and have the expertise and experience to help you. One easy call to Optima can start the process, helping to put an end to your worries of wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other aggressive IRS actions. Make today the beginning of your fresh start with the IRS. Call the experts at Optima Tax Relief now for your free confidential consultation.
Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes! That's awesome!
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly cloudy skies expected tonight with a chance for scattered storms. Lows dip down to about 65. Winds out of the southwest 8 to 15 miles an hour. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow. Chance for scattered storms. High temperatures reach up to 80. Cloudy skies tomorrow night. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows dip down to about 60. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 81 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. At 12:15, Wisconsin Roundtable. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. On 540 AM WAUK.
Be on it. New York's dinner.
Welcome back. This is your Paul Revere Show. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. We are here every Monday night, 7 to 8, WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, Civic Media Time, folks. And I am honored and privileged to have with me tonight Jonathan Brostoff.
Thank you.
Former State Assembly, now with the Common Council. And we've been talking about the whole budget process, shared revenue process, and how Milwaukee was played off against the rest of the state in really, really basic, unfair ways. But tomorrow, it's going to play out in the halls of the Common Council. So, Jonathan, how, give us the inside scoop. What's going to be happening tomorrow, and how do you see the various positions? And you don't have to name people, but what are the arguments, and what do you think is going to be at the core of getting to what? You got to get to 10, right?
Yeah, we got to get to 10. The part of the provision when it passed was for not a simple majority, but a two-thirds. So in the Common Council, 15 members means 10. I mean, this is the most important vote we're going to take probably in our lifetime here in Milwaukee. Being able to either A, bring in $200 million of additional revenue with the shared revenue component that can grow, or losing $200 million of services through cuts if we don't get it, is as big of a decision as we'd ever have. And I think it's no exaggeration to say this is a choice between losing the city and saving it, and I plan to save it. That'll be my vote tomorrow. It's going to be on a sales tax, which is regressive by nature in the sense that it does not take income into account, and therefore people who make more money will have a lesser percentage of their overall money affected. People who make less money will have a larger percentage. But it also, as opposed to property taxes, which often through rent do get passed down to everyone here, is not solely from Milwaukee. About, the estimates are about 35% of the property taxes would be from outside of Milwaukee. So you get people now coming in for Summerfest or going to see a live show or a basketball game or Brewers or whatever. So about 35% of that or so is estimated to be from people outside of Milwaukee. On top of that, it does have exceptions of what can be taxed, such as food from the grocery store, medicine, gas, etc. And on top of that, I mean, if you look at a district like mine, I represent one of the wealthier district, one of the wealthiest district in the whole city. And my district, the third district, probably would pay, just throwing a rough estimate out there, maybe let's say 15% of the burden of this $200 million sales tax, and probably would, get about 3% of the services, because relatively speaking to the rest of the city, my district doesn't use a ton of services. Whereas there are districts out there who are much worse off socioeconomically who are going to have that inverse, are going to pay about 3% into it, but get about 15% of the service benefits, which is how it should be. I think that's totally fine. But I think for a lot of those districts is actually a much better deal, because that's the deal that we make as a society. We all pay in together and we get stuff for cheaper, as opposed to if we all individually had to pay for the service of garbage collection or, get debris removal or any other municipal function. And so I think it's vital, especially when we're talking about what it would do to the fire department, and even this, Mark, imagine this. Let's say we don't get the money. Let's say this doesn't work tomorrow. We don't get the 10 votes. So we have to make make a $200 million cut because we just don't have the support for it. So if we get rid of every single one of our libraries, completely cut out all the Milwaukee libraries, that's only about 10%. That's only a little more than $20 million. We still have a huge amount to make up. And that's if we got rid of all the libraries completely. I mean, it's the unimaginable catastrophe that the city would suffer is not one I even want to think about, but that's what we're facing tomorrow. And I'll say this too, the other side of it is my district, again, is one of the wealthier ones. And I predict that if, God forbid, that did happen, it would be likely that there would be people who could afford to that would simply move to more functional municipalities that could get the garbage collected on time, could have a proper neighborhood services department or public works or whatever. And there would be this continuous death spiral. And I think it'd be worse than Detroit. And I think it would happen a lot quicker. And that's what we're facing. And that's why I'll be thrilled to cast my vote in support of saving our city tomorrow, in support of bringing home the $200 million in tax revenue for the city.
It seems to me, full disclosure, folks, I do live in Jonathan's district. People always leave the city. There's always folks that are, afraid of diversity, don't like a diverse community. So I don't know if that's the overwhelming concern. The question I have, we have communities that have been devastated for years with no money. I mean, right? I mean,
yeah.
We had a train station that was supposed to be built in 53206, right?
Yep.
Walker didn't do it. So all those jobs in that future are gone. What do you say to aldermen in terms of what can you give them in terms of a promise to say, I'm going to take the money now, but let's go do something together?
One example is the Biden bucks, the ARPA dollars. Now, every state across the country had municipalities that benefited from this, including Milwaukee, and the ARPA dollars we got were supposed to be for transformational, often infrastructure improvements and capital improvements that were supposed to be generationally transformative. Unfortunately, because of the gap that we've been suffering, a lot of that money's been used just to plug holes to keep basic municipal functions going. But if we can take home this revenue and if we can do it immediately and get the ball rolling, we can, instead of using that money to plug holes, use it for these other transformational projects. And if we look at it, a lot of that money that we had that wasn't used to plug the hole already went to some of the hardest hit districts. We can keep doing that, but we have to bring the money home.
Well, we're all going to be watching tomorrow to see what happens, how it plays out, whether this Common Council can put it together.
One small correction. My wife is telling me it was Laos, not Cambodia. I misspoke, so I want to correct that record. Sorry about that. My bad. It's been a long day.
You heard it live. Watch the outcome tomorrow. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. Keep Wisconsin moving forward, folks. Thank you, Jonathan. Good luck tomorrow.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
If he's smart, he gon' act like a fan. Thinking you bigger, they got your head gas. We slow, so I get him a pass. Catch it.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 540 AM WAUK.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.